Please be seated. It is a classic scene of Christmas time as interpreted by a sitcom and sometimes by a more dramatic series. People are on a trip preparing to visit, or they are preparing for the visitors to come to them. And there is a misunderstanding, or mistakes are made in the route and the schedule, or lights go out at the most inopportune time. Through the episode, they'll be finding their way. They'll be seeking understanding. They'll seek to get on the right route. The lights will return, and it will all be possible. It's a common theme of this time. I think once, and the series doesn't matter, but one episode, there are four friends preparing to go to their respective hometowns for Christmas. They were different places, but they all live in the same area. And so there's some misadventures getting to the airport, and then the last minute, because of bad weather, all flights have been canceled. And so they go to a diner afterwards, just have a piece of pie or something like that, and kind of pout. But they're talking and bantering about, in a good way, amongst themselves. And there's only one person working. It's out of the way or whatever reason, but there's only one person working as cook and as cashier and waiter that night. And he comes by and chats with them. They're the only ones in the diner. And they say, oh, we're just kind of down. Like, we're not going to be able to be with our families this year for Christmas. And he said, look, you're not family? The way you were laughing and talking with each other, I could have sworn y'all were family. He walks away, and there's that heartwarming moment where they realize that, yes, we in our own way are our own family in this community. And it ends everybody happy. It's a similar theme told time and time again. I think one reason it's repeated is because it speaks to a deep God-given need for just that: understanding, direction, and enlightenment. We have, and we'll be looking at the next several weeks, the image of light and darkness, and from two different views. Each week, we'll have a section from Malachi, the last prophet. Hundreds of years will pass after his prophecies before we have any gospel presentation. And then also from John's gospel, which happened to be the last gospel written. So last prophet, last gospel, looking at those two together. In very simple, there are three points: that Jesus brings the light, Jesus is the light, and Jesus shines the light. Jesus brings the light. God speaks into our lives. Now, Malachi, as I said, will be the prophet. We'll be looking at segments of him over the next several weeks. And it begins in a way that is easy to overlook. God spoke not to perfect people, not to people who have their lives all together, but to people who are tired and discouraged at best, and the people who needed, also needed a loving kick in the pants. The setting for Malachi: it's been several years since a group has returned, about four waves the group returned to their homeland of Judah from Babylon, later conquered by Persia. But really, there they are, a small subsection of a province beyond the river. They have hostile neighbors. We saw that in Nehemiah. Neighbors deliberately trying to undermine their attempt to build walls. At this point, as Malachi is speaking to them, the people have largely grown careless in their worship. Not everybody, but enough people to cause concern. The priests are corrupt, not all of them, but enough to be a major concern. There's a weak sense of identity. Those who are doing all right are exploiting those who are not. There is a sense that this is not quite what we had hoped. A sense of disillusionment that we came back for this. And I think even there's a direct connection is tithing is neglected. And once it was said to understand a person's priorities, you look at that person's checkbook and day timer, which I think for most of us would get, but just think, but for the younger set, basically how they're spending their time and their money. And ask your parents about a checkbook, okay, what that is. The people are at a hard place. And Malachi has some very hard words to share. I'm kind of going on the nice side today. He has some very hard words to share. But remember, behind every negative from a prophet, there are two positives, to provide and to protect. So that'll be behind it. John's gospel is written to Christians to convince the convinced or the near convinced. Matthew, traditionally seen oriented towards a Jewish understanding. Mark for the Romans. Luke for the Greeks with that worldview. This is the last gospel written at a time, and Steve Leake did an excellent job of presenting this in his Sunday school class, but written at a time for the Christians to understand what exactly they believed, maybe tempted to drop back from the faith or not fully embrace it. From this we see in the last prophet that words are presented and God shows up. And in John, the last gospel, Jesus, the Word, shows up. Of course, Jesus was always there, even giving that word to the prophets. We see from this initial presentation that Jesus is not silent, that Jesus initiates, and that the pain of the world does not push Jesus away, but Jesus enters into our pain. And Jesus is the light. Malachi, for those people, they felt like, have we been forgotten? Does it matter? And maybe that's why they were so chintzy in the tithing. But the first word of the Lord is, I have loved you. And in John's gospel, we see the light has come into the world. Your situation may feel unfinished, disappointing. Our Lord's care for you has not changed. And then we find stability, belonging, and security. And Jesus shines the light. What a difference it makes when the light is on in the room. Some people, you know, like to maneuver, kind of think pride. How can I get around the house at night with as little light as possible? But it still takes some light, and some have this good ability to pick up on the light and maneuver. Others, it's just, if the light's not cut on, I can't see anything. But in both cases, once the light is on, how easy it is to find the object that could not be found, to avoid the Lego on the floor or something else that was placed out there and was ready to pounce. On bare feet. What a difference the light makes when it shines in the darkness. And John tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We do not have to pretend that the darkness is not real. Just look at the news on a daily basis. But the darkness will not win. The Lord is shining the light. Even if it seems small or distant, the Lord is shining the light. The people of Malachi's day were weary, discouraged, or just indifferent. Wondering, does God care? Does God even notice? And God spoke to them through the prophet Malachi. Again, there are some hard words in this prophecy. In fact, at one point he even says, you know, I have loved Jacob. Esau, not so much. It's a comparative statement. Jacob is the chosen. But it's a very hard thing here. But behind it is always God's desire to provide and to protect. John reminds the people that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. We begin our journey of Advent with three basic truths then. Jesus brings the light to bring understanding. Jesus is the light to enlighten us. Jesus shines the light to give us that direction we needed. Thanks be to God. Amen.